Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Mercy and Grace to Help. The writer of Hebrews instructed us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And yet, how many of us in time of need called upon God for His mercy and grace to help? Instead, we struggled under the pressure the devil is exerting against us until eventually many fall to his attack. When the pressure is on, cry out to God for mercy and grace, and He will help you in your time of need. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a joy to be able to see the truths that are available to us, to understand, to gain revelation, knowledge of your word, to be taught by the Holy Ghost. How wonderful is that, Lord? Thank you for the teacher who is the greatest teacher of all. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, we welcome you this evening to reveal the Word of God to us, to bring revelation knowledge into our hearts. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. We come against any of the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we open our hearts to you, and we believe that you are revealing these truths to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we had our break for Thanksgiving, we had been speaking about effortless change. I just love that message, and I love the truth that's in that message about the change that can take place on the inside of us through the Word of God going in and causing the desires of our heart to line up with God's desires. And it's effortless. That's the part that I think is overlooked at times, is how effortless that change is, where all we have to do is put God's Word in our heart and let His Word do the work on the inside of us. And instead of us trying to change ourselves and get rid of the things that we don't like, that we know aren't pleasing to God, instead of us trying to just do it in our own efforts, the Word of God going inside of us is able to accomplish what we cannot do in our own efforts. And I say that with this idea, this understanding, that if you just tried to stop doing something that you knew was a sin of the flesh, let's say, just something that lying is the first thing that comes to mind. So let's say that you just, in your own effort, decided, I'm going to stop lying. That's going to last for just as long as your willpower can sustain you. But when that opportunity to lie comes up again, and it's, let's say, the consequences outweigh your willpower, you're going to lie. And why is that? It's because you haven't done what's necessary to make a permanent change on the inside of you. And that's by putting God's Word in and letting God's Word change you. And this change is a permanent change. Whereas before, you would give in to those fleshly desires to lie. Now, because that desire is put to death, there's not a want to lie. And that's the best change of all. And that can happen for you by putting His Word in, and it can address a variety of issues in your life. So that's where we ended up before, like I said, our break for Thanksgiving. But now we're back. And tonight's message, We're going to kind of go in a similar direction as what we've been going in. But tonight we're going to talk about a situation, let's say, where a person might be struggling with certain sins, let's say. Let me frame this for you a little bit. And, you know, with the same thought pattern of what we've been going in as far as the Word of God is going inside of you. So change is taking place inside of you. But understand this. We'll never be at a place where we are completely just totally finished, if I can say it like that, where we're just perfect, where we don't have any issues on the inside of us, anything inside of us that the enemy might be able to come and take advantage of and draw us into sin. We'll never be at that place. There's always going to be something. It may not necessarily be sins of the flesh. In other words, just these carnal sins. It might be more of a sin of lack of obedience. There's a verse in Romans, and I wrote this down before we went on the air this evening. It's in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, and it says, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat," talking about whether eating of meat. And the fact is that if you eat and you're doubting whether or not you should be eating it, it's sin. And the rest of this verse says, "Because he eateth not of faith." Now look at these last words. "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." What? That's pretty harsh. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So when you respond in fear or doubt or any of those things, anything that is associated with the curse, fear, doubt, unbelief, any of that, when you respond in that way to whatever situation you're faced with, you've entered into sin. Because you haven't responded in faith. And whatever is not of faith is sin. That's some strong medicine right there. And think about it. See, we have these things categorized, I believe, on the inside of us. This is sin. This is not sin. These are big sins, and these, you know, we don't even consider these sins at all. And I don't think that's really how God looks at things. I think that if we are disobedient to Him, if we operate in fear, if we operate in unbelief, any of these things, I believe that those are issues of sin. Particularly disobedience, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's because of how I was raised and how I was taught to, you know, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do these things. These are sin. That's sin. And yeah, those obviously are sin. But anything that we do that is fear, operating in fear, operating in doubt, operating in unbelief, any of these things that are not of faith, you're dealing with sin. So with that in mind, we don't want to be in sin. We want to be free from sin. But, you know, there's just things that are going to happen as we go through life, as we're going through the process of transformation, because we're putting the Word of God on the inside of us, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where he talks about being transformed through the renewing of our mind with God's Word. So we go through this process, and at any given point, you're somewhere on that You know, if you draw a straight line from here to the end of your life, and realizing that, you know, as you're going through this life, transformation is taking place. At any given point, any given day, you're at some level of transformation, meaning that there's still areas that are going to be susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. You know, I've witnessed this for myself. I've seen times where it seems like, man, all of a sudden, out of absolute nowhere, the pressure seems to come, and it's the enemy. The enemy has come, and he's putting pressure, and he knows exactly the areas. How about that? Where to put the most pressure to do what? To try to get us into to compromise and to end up making terrible decisions at times. And, you know, and I look at those times and I think, what happened? You kind of look around and what happened to me? What in the world is going on? And we fail to realize the enemy's, he knows exactly what buttons to push, and he pushes those buttons, and he can apply the most pressure against us. And it's in those times that, you know, I would like to suggest to you to do this, and this is going to be the title of the message tonight, and it is Mercy and Grace to Help. I would suggest to you that in those times that you cry out for mercy and grace, because it's available to help us in those times. See, God knew there were going to be times in as we go through this life and we do the things that we know are supposed to be doing. We do go through the transformation process. We're renewing our mind. And yet, in those areas that have still yet to be transformed, where we have areas that we're still conformed to the world, we are susceptible to the enemy's attack in these areas. Jesus knew that there were going to be these times, that there were going to be temptations that we were going to have to deal with, you know, whether they were just outright carnal temptations or whether they were simply temptations to be in disobedience, to be in fear, to not be in faith. Whatever the temptation is, it's a temptation to be in disobedience to God and to be in sin. And the enemy will come and present you with this scenario that and at the same time that it's like this pressure is coming against you and your emotions. He can create it's kind of like the perfect storm, if you will, where these things seem to all just kind of mushroom at once. And, you know, man, it's like, how did all this junk happen? And it's the enemy. And he's coming and he's hitting you at the very point that he believes that he can get you to buckle under the pressure. That's where he comes at. And the point that I'm trying to make is, Jesus knew we were going to be in these situations. He knew it. How did he know? Hey, he walked this earth with one of these, an earth suit, just like what we have. He knew what temptation was. And see, right there, there are some religious-minded people that are going to say, well, you know, he's God, and, you know, he really, it would not be possible for him to be tempted. That's not what the Bible says. And let's look at some verses that are going to show us he experienced these same kind of issues. Now, yeah, I'm of the belief that the temptations that he really had to deal with were those in which he was tempted to not operate in faith. You know, I truly believe that those were the temptations that were probably the ones the enemy used against him the most. But it you know, here's a verse that, well, let's look here. Hebrews chapter 2 is going to be the first one we're going to look at regarding these temptations that Jesus dealt with. Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that is talking about us, how we live in this earth suit, flesh and blood, he also, this is Jesus, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Excuse me, that is the devil. That right there is, that's one of my favorite verses. Look at that. He destroyed him. And in Colossians it says, he made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in it. He destroyed the devil. destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He destroyed him. Why, I love that. You know, we think about all this power that Satan has. Jesus destroyed him. He destroyed Satan. Yeah, what's, you know, when Satan as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, he's roaring, but you know, it's, he can only destroy us because we give him that place in order to do this. You know, it's only what we give up to the enemy, because we have the victory already. All we have to do is believe that we have the victory. So let's look at this verse back here in 14. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brother. Now, I don't know how much clearer the scriptures have to get for us to understand. Where, you know, where it says here, in all things it behooved him, in all things. No, just a little bit was he like us. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And I looked up that word. To succor is to bring aid. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to bring aid to them who are tempted. There's going to be times of temptation that we're going to have to deal with. And it doesn't matter how long a person has walked with the Lord. And the temptations are going to vary. I believe they're going to vary just as much as we vary from one person to the next. But they're going to be so uniquely designed for each individual to fit whatever it is that person would be tempted by. In other words, what do you mean, Mark? Well, for me, when I first got saved, because of the lifestyle I had lived in the flesh previous to being saved, there were things that were still temptations for me because of, you know, the flesh had longings for things that where I had trained it before I got saved to like things, to like alcohol, to like different things. Those were still a temptation back then. Are they today? No, they're not. How does that happen? How does that desire change? And how does that, what used to be a temptation in that regard in the flesh, how does it change to where now, you know, I look at alcohol and it's not a temptation to me. I'm not struggling. I don't have to white knuckle it every time I am in the grocery store and here's the aisle with the alcohol. Oh no, am I going to go down that aisle? I don't even think about it. Now, it wasn't necessarily that way 25 years ago, but it is today because there's been a transformation that's taken place. There's been things on the inside of me that have been put to death in this flesh. Now, am I perfect? I'm not by any stretch of the imagination. But what the enemy has to use now to try and tempt me is different than what he had to use previously. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It just means that the temptations have to change because the desires in my heart have changed. You know, my desire now is to follow the Lord. Are there still things there that the enemy can pass by me and bring in front of my eyes or whatever to try and lure me? Well, yes, there is. And there is with each and every one of us. And like I say, it's unique to the individual. So when we are, and here's the point of everything that I'm going to say tonight. As we're going through this process of transformation, understand this. That even if you're lured into something, even if you find yourself operating in something other than faith, how about that? Because that's going to cover a lot of people. That'll cover all of us. At some point, you find yourself operating in something other than faith. Maybe you find yourself in fear, in doubt, in unbelief. And it's like, you know, how did I get here? And in your heart, you're being convicted. And not condemnation, but conviction, because you're not operating in faith. You're not operating by the Word of God. You're operating in something else. This is sin. You know, it's like, and this just came to me as I said that. We think that sin has to look like this, and we have this picture of it being a carnal sin of the flesh. Hey, it's anything that causes us to operate in this doubt and unbelief and fear. Boy, I tell you, that's really strong on me right there. You know, to help us to better understand sin and to see that it's not just the carnal things of the flesh. You know, because I think that's what, at least for me, the way I grew up, the kind of church that I grew up in, there was almost like categories of sin. But if you would have said sin is anything other than faith, if you would have said sin is operating in fear or doubt or unbelief, if you would have said it, any of that, well, I tell you, you'd have had a hard time convincing the church that I was in that was sin. Now, if you told them, if you said, now, if you go out and get drunk, if you go out and do this kind of carnal act, whatever it could be, then that's sin. Well, now you've got everybody in agreement. Okay, that's sin, and they recognize it as sin. But what I propose to you is when, you know, anything, not just the carnal stuff, not just the things that most everybody identifies as sin, at least in the church, not just that, but walking in disobedience to what you know the Lord wants you to do. Walking in fear, walking in doubt and unbelief. Any of these things, any of this is sin. See, that opens a whole nother conversation right there, because now we have people that, you know, we have the goody two shoes, for lack of a better term. You know, the ones that think, hey, I don't do that. I don't drink. I don't smoke. And I don't do any of those sins of the flesh. I'm, you know, and they basically have their righteousness tied up in their actions. And that's, you know, that we're righteous in His righteousness, not in our actions. And so the people that have that attitude, that think, well, I don't do this and I don't do that, and that's sin, and I don't do that, so I don't have a problem with sin, they're deceived. They're just simply deceived, because they have these categories of sin, and because they say, well, I don't do any of those sins of the flesh, so I'm okay. Well, let's see, are you operating in fear at all? Are you operating in doubt, in unbelief? Are you in disobedience to what you know God has planned for your life? Oh, so there's issues here. See, that's what we're talking about. So let me get back here to Hebrews 2. Let me read this one more time. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or to bring aid to them that are being tempted. So in any area of your life where you have fallen under attack of the enemy, in temptation to operate in fear, in temptation to operate in doubt and in unbelief and in disobedience to God, in any of these areas, we have a merciful, hallelujah, and faithful high priest who has, he's gone through this temptation himself. When he walked this earth, he was tempted. And we're going to find out when we go to the next verse in Hebrews chapter 4, that he was tempted in all areas. Think about that. In all areas, Jesus was tempted. And now he recognizes that we are going to be tempted at times. And he is our high priest, merciful and faithful, hallelujah, high priest, who's bringing help to us. And again, the title of this message is Mercy and Grace to help, because there are going to be times. There's going to be times when you've done everything that you know to do, and that pressure, it's almost a crushing pressure at times, and it's coming against you, and it's like that one area of your life that you are the most vulnerable to the enemy. It's like the enemy has just grabbed hold of it with both hands, and he is just twisting it and trying to get you to compromise. And you feel like, you know, your insides are coming out. And how did I ever end up here? And here's the one thing that is going to be an eye-opener to everybody when you realize this. You may have gone for weeks or months, and it may be even years, and you haven't had any kind of struggle in whatever this area is. No struggle at all. Even to the point that you think, hey, I must be free of this. And then suddenly you realize just how unfree you really are, because he has grabbed hold of this. And, you know, the enemy has grabbed hold of whatever this vulnerable part of you, of your flesh, is. And it's like he's just twisting it with everything that he's got. And you know, you're sitting there and you are resisting the enemy with everything that you got. And what I suggest to you is this. Just cry out for mercy and grace to help in time of need. Jesus knew there were going to be times like this. Jesus knew that, you know, how dastardly the enemy is. Man, he will get you when you're down. He will wait till you are the most vulnerable before he launches an attack against you. He's probably not going to launch his attack when you know you're just as feeling strong, and you have been in a prayer time with the Lord, and you have been consistent in your confession, and you have been reading the Bible. You know, that's probably not the time that he's going to launch his attack on you. He's going to wait till maybe something happens in your life that unexpectedly, you've been down, you've emotionally, you've been down, and you struggled with something. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you've been sick with something. Whatever the case may be, you know, you've already been dealing with things. You've already been dealing with problems. This is the time that the enemy is going to come visit you. And I say come visit you because I truly believe that, we're going to look at some verses that talk about how he comes. I'm not necessarily saying the devil himself, but one of his imps was, you know, someone that works for him, in other words, was going to pay you a visit. And now how can you say that, Mark? Well, you know, let's think about Jesus. Let's think about the temptation after he was filled with the Holy Ghost. After God the Father looked down on him at the baptism of John, where John baptized Jesus. Here Jesus comes up, he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then off he goes into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting and temptation of the enemy. And at that point, after the 40 days, after that all the tempting of the enemy, now he comes to these three temptations. And here the enemy is tempting him, saying, if thou be the Son of God, do this. Make these stones into bread. And you know, three times the enemy is approaching him. Let's look at that. That's going to be in Luke. You know, these three specific times, the enemy approaches Jesus. And you see the first time, if thou be the Son of God. Now, I'm sorry, this is in Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Now, I already told you that at the baptism where John baptized Jesus, Jesus came up out of the water. The Holy Ghost came on him as of a dove, and the voice from heaven, which was God the Father, said, this is my beloved Son. And so here we are 40 days after that event, and Satan, the temptation is, if thou be the Son of God. Hey, God the Father already identified this. Hey, he is the Son of God. But the devil is tempting him at this very point. If you're the Son of God, prove you're the Son of God. Do these things. Do this. Make these stones to be bread. And his response, he responds with the word. Notice, he didn't say, devil, don't you know who I am? You better get out of here because I'm God and I'm going to melt you like butter. He didn't say that. He responded by giving God's word. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He is giving us an example to follow. When there's temptation, when you're dealing with the enemy, you speak the word. Speak the word. Give him the word. Because the enemy has no recourse when it comes to God's word. He has nothing that he can do to stop the word of God. You give the word. You speak the word. That's what Jesus did. That's what we should do. Speak the word. Only speak the word. And he goes on, and you see here the three temptations. But the part that I want to bring to your attention is verse 13. After the third temptation is completed, verse 13 says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. Now look at these words, for a season. For a season. Now, does that give you the indication that he left him for good? No. He left him for a season. He left him for a more opportune time in the future to come in to tempt him in different areas. See, we can see in Jesus and what he experienced, we can see how the enemy will deal with us because it's the way he dealt with Jesus. And he's going to come and he's going to put pressure on the areas we are the most vulnerable. And it's up to us to resist the enemy. We are told that if we will submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, that he will flee from us. But we have to submit to God. We have to be submitted to him. And then we have to resist the enemy. You know, the enemy comes in, and I think so many times, instead of resisting him, we buddy up to him. We need to be resisting him. And in every way, shape, or form. I remember Kenneth Hagin made a comment, what are Christians waiting for to resist the devil? You know, if you resist doubt, you're resisting the devil. If you resist fear, you are resisting the devil. If you resist unbelief, you are resisting the devil. In any one of those areas, you're resisting him. And it's amazing how Christians aren't resisting. But if we will resist the enemy, he will flee from us. Now, let's go back over to Hebrews. I want to look at the fourth chapter of Hebrews now. What I'm trying to do here is I'm bringing out these verses regarding Jesus and regarding how he was tempted, trying to help us to understand just the way he was tempted, we're going to be tempted. Now, again, I believe his temptation was, you know, he was tempted in the area of operating in anything outside of faith. But let's look at this verse in Hebrews 4. We'll begin reading in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was, now look at these, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now we only saw back in Luke three temptations. You know, there was only three there. Now, it does say he was tempted for 40 days by the enemy, but then we see the three temptations after that 40 days. But now, here we see that Jesus, look at these words, that was, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So, I want to make sure that we grasp this, that it wasn't just that one instance where the devil came after his baptism with John there, and after the 40 days, and that was the end of it. No more temptation. No. You know, we read back there in Luke that he left him for a season, and I believe that he waits for the most vulnerable times of our life when he comes and makes his play for us. And I believe the same thing was true of Jesus. And here we see that he was tempted in all points. In all points. So, you know, what I believe to be the case is throughout his ministry, his life in ministry there, those 3.5 years following that first instance, that there were times that he was tempted. And apparently in all points he was tempted. In all of the different areas he was tempted. Yet he did not sin. But here's the thing that I really want us to see. That he was able to recognize just how crafty and cunning the enemy can be with his temptations, and how he hits us in our most vulnerable times. And he is our high priest now. And it says that he is a faithful, merciful high priest. He can identify with our weaknesses. He recognizes our weaknesses. So, what's your point, Mark? My point is this. You're walking through life. You're doing everything that you can to go through the transformation process. But don't think that the enemy isn't going to wait for you to, at your most vulnerable times, to try and lure you into sin by taking hold of the parts of you that are the most vulnerable parts, the things that he truly believes is going to be your Achilles heel, and in those areas he's going to strike you, not, I mean, he's going to bring a temptation to you. And so what happens? Cry out to God when that pressure is on. Cry out to him. Cry out for mercy and grace to help. Look at these verses. They're right here. Hallelujah. Let us therefore, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly. Hallelujah. Not crawling on your belly. Not sniveling and just crawled up in the corner. No. Come boldly. See, look at the verse before that. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the feeling of our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he can identify with what we're dealing with here on this earth. He knows that we are not going to be perfect. I'm telling you what, that right there is, that's worth watching this whole video to hear those words. God is not expecting us to be perfect. There is a mentality that is, it's a Pharisee mentality that believes that the only way that you are going to please God is if you're perfect, and you're never going to be perfect. That's the point. And we have an enemy that is the most cunning and deceitful enemy that hits us when we're down and he knows the most vulnerable part of us to hit and goes right after that. I mean, just like a mad dog going after us. And our Lord and Savior Jesus, he knows the things that we have to deal with. And I'm telling you what, when you have fallen prey to the enemy, here's what he says. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm telling you, do that when the pressure is, I mean, it's turned up tenfold. You run boldly to the throne of grace and attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm also going to tell you that if you don't do it and you fall to the deceitful temptations of the enemy, and you know that you've done wrong, you come boldly and you receive your forgiveness for what you've done. Thank God. He's merciful. You know, he's merciful when we've screwed up and we've done stupid things. He's merciful. We're harder on ourselves than God is on us. You know, and here was something that helped me out a whole lot. You know, when we do things that we know are wrong, and we repent, and then we keep repenting, and we keep repenting, and we keep repenting. You know, why do we do that? Because all you have to do is confess your sins. He is faithful and just, 1 John 1:9, to forgive us of all of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We just confess it and receive forgiveness. That's it. You know, all of this feeling bad and continuing to grovel, you know, what that really is our attempt to earn our forgiveness. You can't earn it. It is only by the blood of Jesus, and we only receive it by faith. Once you confess it and you receive it, it don't matter how you feel. You repent, you turn away from it, and you just go on. Well, I don't think I did enough. I don't think I did enough groveling. That doesn't matter. You're groveling. That doesn't change anything. What changes it is the blood of Jesus applied and receiving it by faith. That's all you have to do. That's all you got to do. Hallelujah. And our Heavenly Father forgives us. Now, there's one example that I want to get to here before we end, because I want to see Jesus when he is right in the throes of temptation. I mean, we have a picture. We have a picture of Jesus when he is right in the throes of temptation. And it wasn't a temptation to lure him into fleshly sins. No, this was a temptation to not be disobedient to the will of God in his life. But I'm telling you, it was a challenge. The pressure was on. And I just love this, because this picture will show you just this is how the devil is. And he's not just this way with Jesus. He's this way with each and every one of us. And I'm not saying the devil comes and visits each one of us. But one of his imps, somebody that works for him, he will visit us at different times when we're vulnerable. And just and look at this picture. It's in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 22. Here's Jesus. This is just before the crucifixion. And we see here in Luke 22, he is in the throes of temptation. And the temptation is to not obey the will of God for his life. Thank God he did. Thank God he obeyed. But man, I'm telling you, here we're going to see how much pressure the enemy can put us under. And here he is. I'm going to begin in verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Look at strengthening him. The pressure was on him. The pressure, I'm telling you, the devil, you got to know, he was exerting some pressure against Jesus. And so much so that there was an angel from heaven sent to strengthen him. Verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose up from prayer, he was gone to his disciples, found them sleeping for sorrow. And we'll stop there. Great, the pressure was so strong against him that he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. That's pressure. And that is pressure. And the pressure was for him to not follow the will of God, but for him to follow his own will. He knew what he was faced with going to that cross. He didn't want to have to suffer that pain in his flesh. If there's any other way, God, Father, if there's any other way, but here's the bottom line, not my will, but your will. And that's where the rub is right there. That's where the pressure comes. The pressure comes to get us not to follow God's will, not to follow his plan, not to follow his word, not to stand on his word, not to believe in his word, not to go the way that we know we're supposed to. Here's where the pressure is. But to go the way our will wants to go, where we want to go, in a way that's in opposition to God. That's where the pressure is. That's where the enemy wants us to try and go our own way. Try to make our own way. Not to operate in faith. Try to answer our problems ourselves instead of in faith. To be in fear instead of in faith. To operate in doubt and in unbelief instead of operating in faith in God's word. See, these are the temptations that we are faced with. And thank God we have a merciful and faithful high priest. And we can go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help. Mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you're in those moments of your life, in those moments where the pressure is just almost excruciating, and you want to go any other way except the way God has planned for you. You want to do anything except stand in faith. anything. But you cry out. You go boldly to the throne of grace. And you obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you, God. Because Jesus walked this earth. Jesus experienced these times. Jesus knew that sick devil was going to launch his greatest attacks against us. He knew that we weren't going to be perfect, and he has become our high priest. And I thank God that he's our high priest, and that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I encourage you tonight, I encourage you, cry out to him, and when you've done everything that you know to do, to stand, cry out to him and receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Glory to God. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that we do have a faithful, a merciful, a loving high priest who knows the temptations that we're faced with, who knows what it is to walk this earth with a fleshly body, who knows that the enemy is out there. I thank you, God, that we have this merciful, faithful high priest, Jesus. I thank you for grace and mercy being poured out on our behalf. And I pray that each and every person that listening to me, that they will recognize that there's going to be times when the enemy is going to launch his greatest assaults against them. And I pray that they'll remember these words and that they will cry out to you for mercy and grace to help them in their times of need. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact